بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. The title is آپ کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں. آپ کا مرتبہ اس جہاں میں جیسے خورشید ہو آسمان میں. آپ کا مرتبہ اس جہاں میں جیسے خورشید ہو آسمان میں. دوستو یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جہاں میں. دوستو یہ ہے شہر مدینہ جس سے اسلام پھیلا جہاں میں. ورنہ صلی علی ہو زباں پر کیا اثر ہوگا آہو فغاں میں. ورنہ صلی علی ہو زباں پر کیا اثر ہوگا آہو فغاں میں. ورفانا کا انعام یہ ہے آپ کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں. ورفانا کا انعام یہ ہے آپ کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں. شرط توحید کامل یہی ہے عشق ہو آپ کا قلب و جان میں. شرط توحید کامل یہی ہے عشق ہو آپ کا قلب و جان میں. کوئی سمجھے گا کیا غیر ممکن آپ کا رتبہ دونوں جہاں میں. کوئی سمجھے گا کیا غیر ممکن آپ کا رتبہ دونوں جہاں میں. سبز گنبد پہ جس کی نظر ہو وہ بھلا جائے کس گلستاں میں. سبز گنبد پہ جس کی نظر ہو وہ بھلا جائے کس گلستاں میں. نام کیسا ہے پیارا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جن کے صدقے میں ایمان ہے جامع. نام کیسا ہے پیارا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جن کے صدقے میں ایمان ہے جامع. یہ ہے فیضان نور نبوت جو ہے اسلام سارے جہاں میں. یہ ہے فیضان نور نبوت جو ہے اسلام سارے جہاں میں. کیا کہوں رفعت شان گنبد کچھ نہیں دم ہے اختر زبان میں. کیا کہوں رفعت شان گنبد کچھ نہیں دم ہے اختر زبان میں. آپ کا مرتبہ اس جہاں میں جیسے خورشید ہو آسمان میں.
بسم اللہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی رسول اللہ وعلی آل سیدنا محمد کما صلیت علی ابراہیم وعلی آل ابراہیم انک حمید مجید. The title of the poem حضرت شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب رحمہ اللہ رحمتن واسعہ، آپ کا صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، آپ کا ذکر ہے دو جہاں میں. That your mention, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has always been and will continue being in both the worlds. Aapka martaba is jahan mein, in this world, what to say of your position? Jaise khurshid ho aasman mein. I can give an example, it is like the sun in the sky. Allah tabarakala describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa sirajam munira. You are a beautiful. Siraj normally means a lantern, but Siraj also has a meaning of the sun. And that Hazrat Qari Tayyab Sahib Rahimullah wrote a whole kitab. He called it Aftab e Nubuwah, when the sun of Nubuwah rose. So in there he explained very beautifully that he said, you see, a sun is different from a star. He said, every Nabi of Allah that came, alayhi musallatu wassalam, Allah tabarakallah made them stars. During their time, however, there was darkness. Because when the stars are out, they blink. The darkness cannot break the star. But the star doesn't break darkness. He says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rose, it was like a sun that rose. It was the first time in the world of history that night was never going to remain after this. It just cut away through every night. He said, the sun is such that when it falls onto the dead land, then it gives life to everything. He said, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his nazar fell on the world and everything came alive. Grass came, trees came, life came into everything. He says, man also becomes very weak and we also become less. And the world says that we get energy from the sun. He says, Allah tabarakallah made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a source of energy for his ummah. And he wrote that when you can't find that energy from far, then make the journey to Madinah Munawwarah. And there see if you can start sourcing that energy. And when you learn how to source that energy, he said, even from far, through the blessings of Durood sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find you can pull the light of the sun within you. And suddenly that stroke again for deen becomes revived. So Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah gave, he said, what to speak of your mantle, your position in this world? You are like the sun which is in the sky. Dosto ye hai shahre Madina. He says, oh my friends, today we are in the city of Medina, Medina Munawwara. Jisse Islam phaila jahan mein. It was a city once upon a time. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached it. It was a city with a very bad meaning, a very bad name. It had a fever which people could not manage. Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he reached there, he felt sick. He started saying, I want to go back to Makkah Mukarrama. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. He said, oh Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for Makkah and how much you gave it. He said, I now make dua for Medina Munawwara. The fever was removed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from today it will never be Yathrib. Yathrib was that name that it had before. He said, from today it is Taba, it is Taiba, it is something now which will always be pure. It is full of barakah. Gar nasalli ala ho zaba par, kya asar hoga aho fuha mein. He says, if sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not come on our tongue, then what effect can we expect to find in our du'as when we call unto Almighty Allah? Wa rafa'na ka in'am yehe. Almighty Allah had announced that we have already elevated you very high. He says, the result of wa rafa'na, the elevation of Almighty Allah, aapka zikr hai do jahan mein, that in the heavens and in the earth, everywhere and everywhere, it is only you that is going to be mentioned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his birth has not yet taken place. Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, has a dream. He sees from his back a tree is coming out. And the branches are spreading far in the east and in the west. And is going up to the sky. So some people asked him after he gave the name Ahmad Muhammad. So they asked him, what is this name? Because it was not common among the Arabs. Ahmad, the one who will praise, but Muhammad, the one who will be praised everywhere. He said, I had a dream where I saw the branches in the east and the west, and it went up to the sky. I understood from my progeny, someone is going to be coming, whose mention will be made on every side of earth, it will be made in the skies also. This is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shart-e tawheed kamil yahi hai, ishq ho aapka qalb wa jaame.
It is the condition to have proper tawheed, believing in Almighty Allah, and Allah is only one. But in the belief of Almighty Allah only being one, the demand is the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be deep, deep in the heart. There was a very great or very fine line between that one, we had so much of love for the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we took him like a deity. That would have broken tawheed completely. For a nation that worships only one Allah. And then if you had to come back, Hazrat Hakim Sahib showed it so beautifully. He said it was the demand of tawheed, that there was no worship for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the greatest amount of love for Allah's Nabi was the condition of tawheed sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Koi samjhega kya ghair mumkin aapka rutba dono jahan mein. He says, how will anyone ever understand? It is impossible that what your position in both the sky, in both the worlds can, has been and is. The author of Qasida Burda, he wrote this in Arabic. He said, wabit tatarqa hatta nilta manzila. You continued rising and rising and rising until you reach that position, min qaba qawtain, that between you and Almighty Allah in qurub, in closeness, it was just like there was two bows touching each other. Lam tudrak wa lam tarumi. He said that was that position which no one will ever be able to understand. No one will ever think of ever getting to that position. Sabza gumbad pe jiski nazar ho, wo bhala jaye kis gulistan mein. He says that person whose eye now falls on the beautiful dome of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the green dome. He says, what a garden that person is now. Naam kaisa hai piyara Muhammad, din ke sadaqe mein iman hai jaame. He says, what a beautiful name the name of Muhammad is, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is through his blessings that iman has spread in the entire world. Ye hai faizane noore nubuwat, jo hai Islam sare jaame. This is the blessings of the rays of the sun of Nubuwa, that as that sun spread its rays, everything came alive. He said, it is the blessings of the sun of the light of Nubuwa, that Islam is everywhere in the world. Kya kahu raf'ate shan-e gumbad. Hazrat Hakim Sahib, rahimullah, most beautifully now says, that forget speaking about the high level and status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, how can I even describe to you what is that high level of the dome covering Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Kuch nahi dam hai akhtar zabaan mein. He says, akhtar does not find the power to describe the greatness of that dome also. May Allah tabarakala bless us all with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through the blessings of that love, may Allah tabarakala grant us all forgiveness and mercy.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Before our talk proper is for the command of our honorable auspicious Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimahullah. Hazrat says that make muzakra of one sunnah of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before every bayan. So, and the value of sunnah, we try and refresh always in our mind that each sunnah is so valuable. And we can understand in this way also that for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were die hards for the Sunnah. That what is Sunnah, at any cost they were not prepared to give it up or to leave it out. For example, making one Sahabi has eye problem, the doctor says it can be treated, but you won't be able to make sajda on the ground for a certain period. He says, forget for a certain period, I'm not prepared to forego one sajda like that. Though like that, according to Shariat, 100% permissible. Even a person is, he can't help it. But this was the nature of the Sahaba. We find also famous what is mentioned, that one morsel of food while eating, when it fell down, one Sahabi without any second thought, were sitting all like what we will call very, very cultured people, very advanced people, dunya people. But without a second thought, he took it and he ate it. When the Sahabi or somebody next to him tells him, it is famous, he says that, how can I give up a sunnah of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for these stupid evil people, and for these stupid people. So the Sahaba took that, that was the value of sunnah. And one is our attitude. One person went to one great alim in Bhopal, and while discussing something, he said, but this is sunnah. So he told him that it's true, it is sunnah, but your tone of saying it is kufr. That is, we take it, it's a sunnah, so you can leave it out. That thing is not for us, it's a sunnah, so we can leave it out. And many times we talk like that amongst ourselves, that this is, so to say, perhaps we don't say it, but it's just a sunnah. So Sahaba, how they looked at it, and how our attitude is. So Allah give us tawfiq, that we also appreciate and know the value of sunnah. Also, this complaint also comes that sometimes we are traveling, and for example, even Jum'ah namaz. We are musafir, Jum'ah namaz is not wajib upon us. We can make zuhar. Many times then, we can go to a town easily, we can make zuhar, but we bypass the town and we just make our zuhar at a garage or something. It's permissible, but the value of sunnah and the value of deen, that we make it, that we just little bit more trouble we take, and we try and make our, we value the sunnah. May Allah give us all tawfiq. Otherwise, we slip up on this very easily. That way, and also, as ulama have explained, the object of ilm is to make amal. The object of ilm is not to give up amal. That this is nafil, this is mustahab, so we can give it up. But the object of ilm is to make amal. That as far as possible, we make amal. And the more we know about deen, the more we know this is mustahab, this is sunnah, this is not important. And we find that though the masses who know less about deen, for them everything is important. Once we were traveling, went on our safar, and in a country town, where in the family business and the house, they just allocated one small little section of a room for namaz. So we all made our namaz there, and what I can remember, that most probably it was Zuhr namaz we made, so we made our sunnats also, we made our farad, we made again the sunnats also, but the nafil we didn't make. So one old man, he has passed away, so when we sat down and talking, so he says, Maulvis, they don't make nafil. Now we will say, I'm on safar. Even the sunnat is maaf, the sunnat is muakkad also. But he asked us, he says, Maulvis, they don't make nafil namaz. Whereas actually, what knowledge and the value of knowing of nafil, we should be more particular about nafil. But unfortunately, the more we are associated with deen, the more knowledge of deen we got, the more our amal becomes weak. And we got an answer for everything. And for everything that this is not so important. But the impression it creates, especially on the awam, on the general people, is a very negative impression. So Allah give us tawfiq that we appreciate what is sunnah. And the value of deen, and that the knowledge of deen, we try and practice more. Otherwise, in our own circles, or in our mind, that what the people know. This is not for us. But really, it is the opposite effect it has on the people. Also, one group of deeni people were doing deeni work. They were traveling, and if the time came for Jumu'ah, so they made Jumu'ah namaz out of the town, Zuhr namaz. And easily they could manage it, but take it easy, we are on safar, so it is permissible. And when they went to the town people took it in a very negative light. Asked them, where you made your Jumu'ah? So they say, we made our Zuhr. They say, but you could have easily made it here You could have got your Jumu'ah namaz, but just that little unmindfulness from our side. So really, Allah, bring that. And that is the purpose of what we call tasawwuf, khanqa, to try and bring this value of these things. That everything of deen is extremely valuable. So may Allah give us tawfiq to try and make amal on every sunnah. And give us the love and passion of sunnah. We cannot even imagine about the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, but even so, at least we have some desire in that direction. And this will come when we associate with ulama, we associate with our Shaykh, Hadrat Maulana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, Hadrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, when he was in his very old age and very ill also. He wasn't all the time conscious also. He was in that condition. And the khadims who were busy making for him his wuzu, he couldn't make wuzu on his own also. They were pouring the water and that. So, and he wasn't like properly in his mind. So one of them, as they spoke, they say, now just let's do the faraz for Hazrat and leave out all the others, the miswak. In that state, Hazrat came like alive, and he became very angry. So he said, well, let me make my miswak. Where's my miswak? So when he gave it, and he is now in that condition, he just did little, then he was satisfied. So this is how they value. May Allah give us also the value of our whole deen. And one of the, and there are so many sunnahs, really, Allah make us conscious. And which is, ulama say that in this time of fitna and fasad, to make amal on any one sunnah, you get the sawab of 100 shaheed. So for example, we go into the toilet, we go with the left leg, and just think, 100 shaheed sawab. Just for, before that, we read the dua. For that dua, 100 shaheed sawab. We go in, and we go with our head covered, which is also a sunnah. Another 100 shaheed sawab. How much aren't we gaining? And then when we finish, relieve ourselves, we come out with the right leg, another 100 shaheed sawab. We read the dua, another 100 shaheed sawab. We make wudu, and in wudu, how many sunnahs? Miswak, how many? 100 shaheed sawab. So we should think about this. And see how Allah has made our deen and how much Allah Ta'ala has given us in our deen. So all the sunnahs that we are doing, we step out of the house, step out with the left leg, read the dua. There are many duas which at the time of leaving the house, any one dua, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, whichever dua, for each of these, every time 100 shaheed sawab. And also, shaitan also puts in our mind that when you're going to get so much sawab, so you finish, you're a billionaire, multi-billionaire on the day of Qiyamah. But the ulama have explained that all our ibadat, in lieu of one ni'mat of Allah, we won't be able to pay for it. All the sawab for one ni'mat. And the famous incident is quoted of that one great buzurg who was genuinely a great, pious buzurg. Lived on a small little island where for 200 years, without committing a single sin, continuously in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. And in his honor, his piety, Allah made a pomegranate tree grow there. And the pomegranate tree every morning gave one fruit, every evening gave one pomegranate. And he ate that, and that was his living, 100% halal and tayyibah. And Allah made a little spring to come with fresh water, otherwise around the island, only the sea water. With that he used to drink and make his wudu, etc. And he was so pious that when the malaika would come with Allah's commandments from the heavens, then they would pass by him to take his barakah. And when they would return, again they will pass by him to take his barakah. When he passed away, so Allah Ta'ala told him, go, I grant you Jannah, go to Jannah. So he says, then what about, where's my 200 years ibadah reward? So Allah says, you want to make, you want to account for it, you want to make hisab kitab. So then, okay, we will make hisab kitab. So Allah Ta'ala said that for one eye, and some narrations it comes, for one glass of water, The pay of that is 200 years ibadah. Now for that is to, and all the other ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, where are we going to pay for it? So Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats which we are enjoying also, every split second, and so many ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala that we can never ever imagine also. If we take any one ni'mat, we just take for example the heart, what a big ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And if we visit the doctor, many of us must have gone to the cardiologist for a test. He did a sonar on the heart, and he showed us how the heart is pumping, how the various chambers they are opening, closing, the valves, etc., and all the functioning of the heart. And in that, and that also is very brief what he's telling us. And all the knowledge that doctor has got, and all the medical people, their knowledge is also still not anywhere what the knowledge and what Allah has given us. Even doctors many times have to say, we don't know what's happening, we can't fathom. So that with all that knowledge, they don't know what, and there is a solution. لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٌ. For every illness, there is a dawa which Allah has put. But we don't know all those dawas also. So Allah, and these are all the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. So all Allah's ni'mats which He has given us, nobody can ever fathom them also, and nobody can pay for them also. Ulama have also written that Allah Ta'ala, all His favors, now in return of that, Allah made the ibadat for us, which is now we are paying for those ni'mats. But we can never fully pay for it. So anyway, Allah's ni'mats are innumerable. And this amount of reward that we are given to read Subhanallah bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, all so many things we read, so much of sawab, and really all that reward is there. But with all that, Allah's ni'mats will be such that all this ibadat, it won't even count to pay one ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And a person can only gain salvation on the day of Qiyamah in this world also now. If Allah has to take us to task of all that we have done, then we will not be able to exist for one second also. But so all this ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala that He has given us, there is only one way to have hope in the mercy of Allah, and to continuously beg for Allah Ta'ala, for His mercy, for His forgiveness. Otherwise, with all our ibadat, and definitely all this ibadat is so great, the rewards are so great, but compared to how much we will have to pay for, how many times it happens that partners, a person thinks that when we're going to be sharing our profits of the year, I'll be making so much, I'll go home with so much. And he has planned so much in his mind what he's going to do. But when they come and they sit down, many times it happens, you find you have to actually pay in. You're not taking anything, you are paying in. And this is it is a reality. When Zimbabwe at one stage was going through all its crisis with all its financial things, one person who had taken out an old age policy, what you call it? Pension policy. Finally, when he reached the age, the bank phoned him and called him in, that let's sort out your account and your things. When they worked out everything, where he was thinking that I'll be living now in my old age, I'll be collecting my pension, and everything will be going nice, all he was left with was so much money that he could buy one banana. That was all what he was left with. So Allah Ta'ala save us on the day of Qiyamah. Then if we think of hukukul ibad again, the rights of fellow persons that we have to fill, and there are so many of hukuk, and hukukul ibad of people, of Muslims, and even of the non-Muslims, where if we did wrong to them, then about animals also, if we did wrong to any animals also, for that also we will be answerable. So all this, there is no other way. That Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said that nobody will be able to gain salvation but by the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Nabi Ali salatu wasalam, not even you, O Allah's Nabi, he said, not even me, but by the mercy of Allah. And we must never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. No matter what our sins are, how beautifully our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to explain that all our sins, all of human sins together, jinnat sins together, all of it comes to a limit. A huge amount, but it is a limit. And Allah's rahmat is unlimited. So what is limited, it can be contained. But what is unlimited? So Allah's rahmat is unlimited. So we have to continuously beg Allah Ta'ala for His rahmat. Never ever, no matter what gunas we might have committed, even now, presently, no matter how evil we are, never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Always. But not on the other hand that we become bold and we discard everything and we just commit gunas. No, that also is not. We take our ihtiyat. We take our precautions all the time. And where we err, we ask for maaf. And that also how beautifully Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to explain that a person in this world, no matter how bad he becomes, yeah, for example, your car comes in an accident, Allah protect us all, and the panel beater says it's a write-off. But by Allah, no matter what low ebb you might have reached, and you might be thinking I'm finished, but nobody is a write-off by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, and how many people's lives, how Allah Ta'ala transformed them. So that is the great mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And for that, Allah gave us Tawbah and Istighfar. And Tawbah, Istighfar, how beautifully our Shaykh explained that doctors, if perhaps, which perhaps they will never, but they invent such a medicine that no matter how badly you are burned, what degree of burns, the worst burns, but you just take that medicine, that palm, and you rub it, immediately you become right. And immediately your skin becomes like before. And everything becomes better than before. So if you have that palm, it doesn't mean now you just commit sin. If by mistake you committed a sin, you burnt, then you apply that balm. So not just now you can put your hand intentionally in the fire. No, in case you burn, then you apply. So just like that, definitely Allah gave us the balm that will make a black heart, make it shining again. And that is Tawbah and Istighfar. No matter how that heart is burnt out, become black and dirty, but by Tawbah and Istighfar, Allah makes it a shining heart again. So Allah has given it to us, and He has given it to everyone and free of charge. So we should use it. Anyway, Allah Ta'ala has taught us a great lesson in the beginning of the Quran Sharif. Right in these ayat where Allah says, Ya Yuhannasu Ubudu Rabbakum, O people, all of you worship Allah Ta'ala. Alladhi khalaqakum, He who has created you, walladhina min qablikum, and those before you, and the purpose of all this, la'allakum tattaqoon, that you acquire taqwa. Ulama have written such, Allah reward the ulama, how Allah inspires them, and what lessons they take out for us, and how much we can benefit from this. From here, we are taught three very, very important things, which each and every human being has to think about, and it should be natural in that person. Like for example, we came to the masjid, we see a stranger here, and we meet him, normally, how are you, what's your name, etc. And very soon we will ask, from where are you coming, from where are you? We talk perhaps a little bit more, why have you come here? What work, etc. And then we talk a little bit more, where are you going from here? Somebody comes to our door, knocks on the door. If it's a lady, perhaps the ladies will answer. They will receive her, start talking. A stranger, not somebody that you know, family or friend or stranger. Then you'll ask also that person, who are you? From where have you come? And after little more discussion, where are you going? This is a common thing. And it happens to all of us also. But did we ever ask ourselves that from where have I come? And why have I come here? And where am I going to from here? Really, these are three questions, and it should come to every human being. We will ask a lot of people this question, but we haven't asked ourselves. And if we ask ourselves, and we see the answers which the Quran Sharif has given us, and then we can realize this is more than enough to correct our lives. Many people say, my Islah is not getting done. Just ask ourselves these three questions. It's more than enough for our hidayat, to change our lives, for our Islah. And right at the beginning, this is the first thing which Allah Ta'ala teaches us also. That you ask yourself these three questions, that from where have I come? So Allah Ta'ala says, O people, ya ayyuhannas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum. He is the one, you have come from Him. He has created you. And all the people before you also, if you think that my father made me, my mother made me, then Allah says, they also, they didn't even make themselves. Allah made them all also, right through till Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah is the one who has made all. So from where have we come? We have come from Allah Ta'ala. And many ayats of the Quran Sharif, Allah refers to this. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهَرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. That I was nothing at one time. Doesn't that time come that for every person Allah says it's like surprising that your whole life you passed and this period didn't come that you think that at one time I was nothing. Not even something spoken about. Not some raw material and afterwards I was put together. But not even, I wasn't even spoken about. From where did I come? And how many ayat, in fact the whole Quran Sharif Allah Ta'ala teaches us that we have come from Him. And when we realize that, then all the other wrong things of Darwin's theory, etc., that our forefathers were monkeys or whatever, all that just falls away. But this realization that Allah has made me, and He has made everything of mine. He has given me all the things. It's nothing of mine, nothing, nobody else has given it to me but Allah Ta'ala. Whether it's my eyes, my brains, whether it's my wealth, whether it's my job, whether it's my car, whether it's my house, my wife, my children, any and everything, if this reality comes to us, it is from Allah Ta'ala. And when it is from Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala has given us all this for a purpose and an object. That why am I here in this world? Why have I come here? A person comes to you at your house, you ask, why have you come? A person comes in your shop, but perhaps not directly you ask him, why have you come? But you ask him, can I help you? What would you like to buy? There is a purpose. So if we also can reflect why we have come in this world. We haven't come just to pass our time. That we have come here in this world like animals. They just eat and drink and pass their time. We haven't come for just like animals. We haven't come to amass wealth to leave it behind. We haven't come here for our health, that we are more concerned of the gym and gymming and exercising. We haven't come here for eating, that we are all the time worried about food, that this food, that food, all the time. We have come here, Allah Ta'ala says in this first ayat, U'budu Rabbakum. We have come here for the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. That is our purpose. And Islam is that perfect deen, that you do all your dunya's work also according to deen, and it's ibadat also. You get married, it's ibadat. You cohabit with your wife, you sleep with your wife, according to deen, it's also ibadat. You have children, it's ibadat. You bring up the children, it's ibadat. You get them married, it's ibadat. You earn your living, it's ibadat. Your eating is ibadah. Everything becomes ibadah. This is that beauty. So Allah has created us for His ibadah. Our example, we should consider, like for example, we have our, we hire somebody, we pay him, tell him that wash my car, and we give him the polish, the water to wash, the soap, the polish to polish the car, everything we give him. And we tell him, I will pay you so much, 100 rand, 150, whatever it might be. And then he brings his car. And he uses all the polish and soap and everything we gave him to wash his car. And at the end, he's still asking us for to pay him. How a person will say, I don't want to even see you. I don't know how, what to tell you. How can you do? Allah gave us everything for His ibadah. And we use all these ni'mats of Allah for our nafs, to satisfy ourselves. And we listen to shaitan in all these things. Shaitan is our enemy. He is out and through and out to destroy us, to get us to the fire of Jahannam, to let us burn there, to destroy us in every way. Our beautiful one article, just came across it recently, that Quran Sharif tilawat in the house brings Allah's rahmat in the house. Shaitans run away from that house. In that house, when Allah's rahmat comes, husband and wife live happily. There is love between them. Parents and children, respect and regard for one another. Barakat in that house. No problems come in that house. Life goes smoothly in that house. All by one barakat of Quran Sharif. And all days namaz also. We also make sometimes some nafil. The wives make their namazes there. There is kitab reading. Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Sahib Damat Barakatum stresses a lot that we read in our houses. Fadaili Amal, Fadaili Sadaqat, Fadaili Durud. He says this, those houses that there were problems, worse problems, he changed it. Those houses where there were drug addicts, where those places where people came in contact there who were non-Muslims or accepted Islam by the barakah. So Quran Sharif, if we read regularly, Allah give us all tawfiq. So love between. And then shaitan quits that place. But when there isn't, and worse, there is TV now there. And there is all the other filth and dirt. Then the malaika of rahmat don't come to that place. Now the shayateen abound there. They come there. Now if there isn't trouble between a husband and wife, what else will be there? Children not listening to parents, what else will be there? Parents not concerned and fulfilling the rights of the children. Every problem you can think of, if there isn't Quran Sharif and there are all the gunas and all the wrong things. So Allah has put us here for His ibadah. And we, this time Allah has given us, it's not a long time. We might think it's a long time, but ask any person who reaches about 60, 70, think of your past days, then even those things that you used to enjoy doing, now you are sorry you did that, you wasted your time in those things. The entertainment of today becomes the sorrow of tomorrow. That famous story of that when the yo-yo was, when it comes, there is a season and all children are playing. So in a little village, all children also had yo-yo. One little child did not have, so he cried, and how passionate you are about it. Everyone has got. So the father also has got great feeling for the child. So he went to the town once a week. He goes by bus and traveling, and then it was all sold out. It was the season. He didn't find. Then the child ran to the father when he got off the bus. Today I got my yo-yo also. But he did not have it. How sad the child, and how sad the father felt, that I couldn't give my child what he really so much was passionate about and he wanted. In the interim, the child had to go for studies. He went away as a little child, schooling in a little village. There wasn't schooling or anything. And he stayed away. He completed his schooling. He completed his university. He became a doctor. The following week when the father went, he bought the yo-yo. He found one. And he kept it. That I will give this to my... After a long period, the son came back. And now he's a qualified doctor. The father made a big da'wah. People are there. Everyone dies of joy. And in the middle of all that, the father tells, I want to give you, my son, a special present. And he takes out the yo-yo and he gives it. The son gets so angry. You are humiliating me and disgracing me. I'm a doctor. What must I do with a yo-yo? So what was so, the entertainment and the joy and the pleasure of yesterday is the very object of sorrow of today. Many things that we have done, and on the day of Qiyamah when we will see that how we wasted our time. And what were things we thought, this is all, nothing wrong with this. As main one terrible thing is our sports. And the time that we spend in sports, watching sports, this team is my team and that player is my hero or something. When we'll realize that the sports, what it is, and if Allah opens it upon us, the sooner the better. How many other pastimes, etc. And those people who spend, who knew why Allah has put us in this world, and they spend the time properly, how much they will appreciate the youth. And really today when we see the youth and they are here for first rakat namaz and they are learning so much, they are passionate, we feel how terrible that in when we were that age, where what we were doing. And you look at this young boys, that how much they are learning deen, making hibs of hadith kitab, all others, so much they are excelling in deen, ta'aleem, etc. Where what this is going to earn them? So we have come, Allah has made us. We have not come of our own accord. Our parents did not make us. No science people and no medical people made us. We were not cloned by anyone. Allah made us. And we belong fully to Him. Our time belongs to Him. Our each part of our body belongs to Him. And we have come here in this world for a just a limited period, which Allah knows exactly. We do not know. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. Where we are going to die, when we are going to die, in what condition we are going to die, nobody knows. So this little period Allah gave us was for His ibadah. And then the next question also is also very important that we should consider, where am I going to from here? So here in the same ayat where Allah first said that الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, that He has created us. He has created us solely and only for His ibadah. In another place Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created jinn and man only for my ibadah. They are not created for earning rosy. They are not created to pass time. All rosy also we earn according to deen also becomes ibadah. But just earning our livelihood without deen, Allah did not create us for that. And earning our livelihood is a fariza after doing our deeni fariza. First we are responsible for our deeni matters, then we earn our living and we earn it in the right way. Alhamdulillah, that also becomes ibadah. And then from here we are going, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. It is the akhirah. And Allah warns us also in this ayat that for those people who do not believe in the Quran Sharif, who do not believe, Allah warns of the fire of Jahannam. That is where we are going in the Akhirat. And we are returning to Allah. Shaitan is not going to decide our matters. Shaitan got no control whether we going Jannat or Jahannam. Our nafs got no, it is all in the hands of Allah. So prudent and wise it is for us that we turn to Allah Ta'ala. That here in this world, and when we go there, then Allah saves us from Jahannam. Allah saves us from the azab and Allah gives us Jannat. So that is the three main questions we will ask everyone, wherever we meet, wherever, then we will ask this question, from where are you? And we will even ask details. You come from that country, which town in that country, which city, in that city, which area, which neighborhood, all that we will want. We don't ask ourselves from where I have come. And if we will just answer these questions for ourselves, and this muraqabah on its own is also a very great ibadah. If we take out the little time, instead of thinking of all other things, that who, from where have I come? Allah has sent me. Allah has made me. Everything of mine is from Allah. Why have I come here? And we answer that question and we come to the reality that we have come here for the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala and to fulfill the commandments of Allah. And where am I going to from here? That is why to commit suicide is haram, because our life doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Allah Ta'ala. And when we will go in the qabr, we cannot be going to be able to decide. Our maut will come how we lived in our dunya's life. And we will be raised up on the day of Qiyamah, how our maut came to us. So then, that is not in our hands, where we are going to die, how we are going to die. So we have to prepare. And our final abode is the akhirat. For the non-believers who die on kufr, Allah save us all forever and ever in Jahannam. And Jahannam will be coming worse and worse all the time. It's not like something, a person has got some illness and some pain, and now I'm used to it. Now at the beginning I was very uncomfortable with it, and I wasn't coming to terms to it, but now I'm all right. Jahannam won't be like that. It will be coming worse and worse, and to get saved from there. And then we go to Jannat, and Jannat also is not a place that a person will get all the ni'mat. Now I've enjoyed, I've explored the whole of Jannat. I had all the fun, and now I've reached the climax of my fun. No, it will be increasing all the time. All the time it will be increasing. So Allah make it that I myself, all of us, we think that from where have I come, why have I come here, and where am I going to? And it's not just that we are going to be in the qabr and just lie there with nothing happening. No, all the time. From the time a person passes away, the life of the akhirat starts already. We still buried or not buried, he drowned or he burnt in a fire, and he couldn't be recognized also, but that life of barzakh starts there, and that carries on. So Allah make it that we think of this. Today, many other things, we think deeply about things. We've got so much, we got a plan A, we got a plan B, and a plan C also. And we know our computers also. We know all the things also, the details of things we know, where to get this, where to get that. Somebody is going to another country and we tell them, don't forget to go and eat the ice cream at that ice cream shop, ice cream parlor. That you can't get that ice cream anywhere else. Don't miss out on that. That fish, what you're going to get there, that restaurant, you won't get that fish anywhere else. But our own matter of the qabr, what are we preparing? Allah give me, give us all tawfiq. For that, inshallah, we'll be having the Islahi Jalsa also. It is all for the same thing, that is consciousness coming to us. That each one of us, we realize, I am responsible for myself. I am responsible for my family also. I am responsible for the ummah also. That this consciousness come into us. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. And really our kindness to other people will be, we encourage them also to come. There will be many ulama, lot of talks will be given, and we don't know when, what just clicks with a person. Sometimes a person listens to bayans for 10, 20 years, but one bayan, one point, and there the decision is made, and he gets his hidayah. So all the time we should sit with that talab, and we don't know when just it comes, and when it just comes, Allah makes everything easy. Now our namazes become easy. Before, to get to the masjid was difficult. Now to stay away from the masjid becomes difficult. Before, any smallest excuse was enough for me not to go to the masjid. Now the biggest thing, the storm is coming, rain is coming, I'm not well. But you push yourself and you are going to the masjid. Once Allah just puts that, then the change comes in the person's life. So we must just keep on trying. Allah Ta'ala has got those certain lamhat, certain awan, certain times in which he just makes his decision. And we must be in that jastaju. We must be in that eagerness that is this my moment? Is this my moment? And the minute we're just going to hit it, from where Allah will make, not from rags to riches, Allah Ta'ala will make a person of the top awliya of the time. He was a person, not an alim, not nothing, but just he will. Kept on, Allah makes him the old wali of the time. He becomes the kutub of the time. May Allah bless us with these realities and take us to all these heights, inshallah.